بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أسواق الجيجيس. الحمد لله، we are grateful to Allah سبحانه وتعالى for this opportunity once again of continuing with our Ramadan fasting. This 15th day of Ramadan, 1426 years after the Hijrah of our noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam from Makkah to Medina. And today, inshaAllah, as usual, we'll continue with our reading from Surah Al-Baqarah. We started reading the 29th ayah yesterday. We actually started with the 28th and we went into the 29th, but we couldn't finish explanations on the 29th ayah. So inshallah we shall continue to do from there. The ayah we started was هو الذي خلق لكم ما في الأرض جميعا ثم استوى إلى السماء فسواهن سبع سماوات وهو بكل شيء عليم. And we were talking about the creation of the heavens and the earth. And we were saying what the earth, the seven layers of the earth contain. And the depth and it, we didn't actually talk about its contents, but its depth and its size. And we also talked about a samawat, the seven heavens, and the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the heavens after the creation of the earth and the things therein. Now, the earth, like we know, the creation of the earth and the heavens and all that, the Quran says that it was in 6 days. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finished all those creations on 6 days, and istawa ala al-arshi, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remained in his right position that he has always been after all those creations, and that is above the heavens and the earth on his arsh. And his arsh is translated in English as his throne, and the arsh is on his kursi, and the kursi al ma, all these above. Now there is a hadith concerning the creation of the heavens and the earth which has confused some people, because it's one of the few hadiths which have been found to be faulty in Sahih Muslim. Because of such a hadith or such a hadith, some people have begun to think that yes, a hadith in Bukhari and Muslim can actually be faulted. This hadith has a fault, but the fault is not that of the time of transmission. So the hadith on its own is not da'if. If you want to go through Bukhari and Muslim and get a hadith that is da'if on the grounds of its chain of transmission, you can never get. But if you want to get a hadith that can be faulty in Bukhari or Muslim for other reasons than a weakness in the chain of transmission, yes, you can. And this hadith concerning the creation of the heavens and the earth in Sahih Muslim is one of such a hadith. And it says, that this hadith was gotten from Abu Hurairah, who was reported to have said, actually it came from Abu Hurairah by Rafi' Mawla Umm Salama, from Abu Hurairah رضي الله عنه, who said, رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم بيدي فقال, that رسول صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم took his hand one day and said to him, خلق الله التربة يوم السبت. Allah سبحانه وتعالى created the soil or the clay on Saturday. وخلق الجبال فيها يوم الأحد. After the creation of the soil, he created the mountains or rocks or both on Sunday. وخلق الشجر فيها يوم الاثنين. And on Monday, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created plants and trees and all of that. وَخَلَقَ الْمَكْرُوحَ يَوْمَ الثُلَثَاءَ. And that on Tuesday, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created everything that is nasty and frowned up. Everything that human beings frown up. Everything that is not good was created on Tuesday. Now, according to this hadith, وَخَلَقَ النُّورَ يَوْمَ الْأَرْبُعَاءَ. And that light was created on Wednesday. وَبَثَّ فِيهَا الدَّوَابَ يَوْمَ الْخَمِيسِ. And that on Thursday, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created animals. وَخَلَقَ آدَم. Okay. So he said, وَخَلَقَ آدَمْ بَعْدِ الْعَصْرِ يَوْمَ الْجُمُعَةِ. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam, that is, he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started the creation of human beings. After صَلَاةِ الْعَصْرِ on Friday, مِنْ آخِرِ سَاعَةٍ مِنْ سَاعَاتِ الْجُمُعَةِ فِي مَا بَيْنَ الْعَصْرِ إِلَى اللَّيْلِ. Between the last hour of Jum'ah, that is after Jum'ah, between Salatul Asri and the night, that is the this thing, sunset, this is when our night begins. So between Asr and sunset, those hours on the day or on the Jum'ah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam. Which means that creation started on when? On what day? Huh? On Saturday and ended on Friday. Huh? So we have Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. How many days? 7 days. Is this in conformity with the Quran? Huh? No, this is not conform with what the Quran says. The Quran says, "Sittati ayyam." Sittati ayyam. He created the heavens and the earth and everything within in 6 days. That's why Imam Ibn Kathir says, "وَهَذَا الْحَدِيثُ مِنْ غَرَائِبِ صَحِيحِ مُسْلِمٍ." That's why this hadith is among the ahadith of Sahih Muslim that are said to be gharaib, which means strange. When something strange comes, it is called gharaib. وَقَدْ تَكَلَّمَ عَلَيْهِ عَلِيُّ بْنُ الْمَهِيدِ. And this is the reason why some scholars have commented on this hadith, and did not only comment, they commented negatively on the hadith. Which means, isn't it takallama alayhi, means it was criticized. The hadith was criticized بعلي بن المديني عن الامام البخاري وغير واحد من الحفاظ. And in fact, not Bukhari, not Muslim, not even one or two. Many other scholars have been reported to have criticized this hadith. وَجَعَلُوهُ مِنْ كَلَامِ كَعْبِ. And this ulama has said that this hadith is about the words or the sayings of Ka'b al-Ahbar. And that person was not a Muslim. Some of the things that he said, because Rasulullah alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said to the Muslims, if you hear strange talk, or you hear strange statements from the Ahlul Kitab concerning Allah, or concerning the last book, or concerning anything that you cannot see, concerning the unknown, what you should believe, which you cannot see with your eyes. If you hear anything from them concerning that, don't say it's a lie, and don't say it's true. Just leave it to them the way it is. Because of that, they have criticized this hadith because it has been linked to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But it's not amongst the words of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was reported from Ka'b. وَأَنَّ أَبَا هُرَيْرَةَ إِنَّمَا سَمِعَهُ مِنْ كَلَامِ كَعْبِ الْأَحْبَارِ. And that Abu Huraira heard that hadith from the things that Ahbab used to say, not from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَإِنَّمَا اشْتَبَهَ عَلَى بَعْضِ الرُّوَاتِ فَجَعَلُوهُ مَرْفُوعًا وَقَدْ كَرَّرَ ذَلِكَ الْبَيْهَقِي. And that, you know, some ruwat, some people who narrated it made a mistake in their narration, and they now put it amongst the things that the Prophet said. Now the Prophet actually never said anything like that. وَقَدْ كَرَّرَ ذَلِكَ الْبَيْهَقِي. And Al-Imam al-Bayhaqi has explained this in detail and has made this clear. So that hadith is not anything that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said. So that's about the creation of the heavens and the earth. But after the creation of the earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now created the heavens and everything within. And it was in 6 days, not in 7 days. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم من همزه ونفخه ونفخه. وإذ قال ربك للملائكة إني جاعل في الأرض خليفة. قالوا أتجعل فيها من يفسد فيها ويسفك الدماء ونحن نسبح بحمدك ونقدس لك. قال إني أعلم ما لا تعلمون.
الله سبحانه وتعالى says, وإذ قال ربك للملائكة اسجدوا لآدم. وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. قَالُوا أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءَ وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. قَالَ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. إِنَّ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى says, I mentioned to your people, إِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ to his angels, إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. That I have placed a vicegerent on earth. قَالُوا أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءَ. And the Malaika responded by asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا. Shall you place on earth when you sit here, the person who will make this sit on earth, وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءَ, and will shed blood, وَنَحْنُ نُصَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ, while we glorify and praise you, wa nuqaddis lak and purify ourselves for your sake, inni a'lamu ma la ta'lamun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the angels, I know that which you do not know. I know that which you do not know. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has started a story which still has to do with creation. He has just started telling us about his creation and telling us that he is alone and he alone deserves to be worshipped and worshipped in all sense or all the, you know, the worship means. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator, the teacher, the nourisher, deserves to be worshipped, is the giver of laws and all that. That he is alone in everything that he owns and has. And everything that he is, there is nobody exactly like him. And he is alone in all that. And he is proving that to us in these ayahs as they come. In this one, he is talking about the things that he said to the angels at the time that he was going to create Nabi Adam. Alayhi salatu wasalam. He was telling the malaika. And Ibn Kathir says, يخبر تعالى بامتنانه على بني آدم بتنويهه بذكرهم في الملأ الأعلى وإجدادهم سبحانه وتعالى وإذ قال ربك للملائكة أي واذكر يا محمد إذ قال ربك للملائكة واقصص على قومك ذلك. الله سبحانه وتعالى سمعت أصوات محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ليس ارتدام. The time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came to his angels and give them the story of what happened, and Allah will now tell you. So, in a nutshell, this is what happened. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he was telling them the story, he said, وَقَوْلُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ هَذَا لَيْسَ عَلَى وَجْهِ الْإِعْتِرَاضِ. When he told them, I'm going to place a right hand on earth. What in the first place does Allah mean by vicegerent? Does it mean that the Nabi Adam alayhi salam that Allah was going to create is going to be Allah's Khalifa? Is that what it means? Because he said, I'm going to place a vicegerent on earth. Does it mean that Adam is Allah's vicegerent? Huh? I'm asking you, my teacher, why are you so quiet? Read Ramadan. And fast. Is that what you mean? Huh? And just looking at me like that. Like Luke or something. Nobody has an answer. It doesn't mean that because Allah does not have any khalifa. There's nobody that can represent Allah. Nobody can do anything that can be wrong. Nobody can do the same. It's not even possible. And if you say that this person is representing me, it first of all means that I am away and he is standing in my place. Eventually, nobody can do that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because there will never be a time that Allah will cease to exist. There will never be a time that Allah will be absent anywhere. His knowledge, his sight will be everywhere, every time. So the issue of somebody representing him does not arise. Because nobody can do what Allah does. You see, the Imam al-Nawawi wrote a book that he called Al-Azkar. And in that book, he mentioned something very interesting. The story of Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu. That somebody once said to Umar, Ya Khalifa Allah, O Vicegerent of Allah, you know, O Deputy of Allah, something like that. And Umar said, Waylak, Subhanallah. He said, how can you say something like that? It's like in English, if you want to translate way out, maybe you say poor you. When you say poor you, you have not insulted the person. And at the same time, you have not thanked him. Have you? It's not a word of praise, but it's also not a condemnation. It's just like teaching the person. But if you say waylullah or kubbullah or ya asratan ala fulan, then it's a terrible statement. It's a condemnation. But if it's a wayhaq, just like, you know, trying to correct the person but softly. So Umar bin Khattab said to the man, wayhaq. Poor you, how can you say that? What's a mistake you ever seen to do? Then he said, that is not how to refer to me. I'm not representing Allah on earth. If you want to call me, he said, I'm going to give you three options. First of all, inna ummi, inna abi sammani Umar, wa inna ummi sammatni Umara. My mother called me Umar after giving birth to me. لو جعوتني بهذا قبلت. If you call me with Umar, give me from the قبلت, I will accept it because that is my name. It's the same thing I'm telling you now. My mother named me Umar. If you call me Umar, I accept it because that's my name. Yes? So he said, secondly, when I grew up, this is when I got matured and started having children, I was called Abahu. Lamma kabiltu. Sumitu Abu Abdullah. I was now called Abu Abdullah. Abu Hafs is not referring to his child. It's a lion. He did bust a lion. It was used to depict his strength and the agility. But the child he had, Abdullah. So you now began to call me Abu Abdullah. He said, if you call me that, I will answer. He now said, and now you made me your Amir, and you started calling me Amir al-Mu'mineen. If you refer to me as such, that is enough for you. He didn't say I will answer. That means he doesn't really like being called that. He would prefer to be called his own name. Just like Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to be referred to as Abdullah, the servant of Allah. He called me Abdullah, I'm only Allah's servant. He preferred that because he wanted to be seen the way he was. He wanted to always remind himself that he would be nothing except that which Allah makes him. But how are people now? Our people now are different. When you see somebody with his own pen, he writes Al-Haji, Chief, Doctor. With his own pen, he'll be writing all that rubbish. Al-Haji, Chief, Doctor. If you look for the chieftaincy, you hardly know what it means. It's just a name. And you say Chief. Say Chief in his village. It's just a name. There's nothing about to it. He has no office. It's just a name. You know, Shaitan wants to put you in hell and he just brings about something. You spend your money to be called the name. You hear some people being crowned Njika. Njika is rubbish. It has no meaning. The person will spend millions to be called that and he just add it to his name. See? Dr. GP. Jerusalem TV, BT, then you say, and Jika of Sokoto, and this of that, and this of that, and that, and this like that. And then he'll call his name. But pious people don't like all this. سيدنا عمر في الجيب قلت مين الله خليفة عنه الله خليفة ما هو دي ايه فقال الله اني جائل في الارض خليفة ولد هي مين دول understand that if you know other ayat of the Quran in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called it was he said وَيَجْعَلْكُمْ خُلَفَاءَ فِي الْأَرْضِ which means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was talking about the human being that he's going to create that they can succeed themselves in leadership which means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this earth and created human beings on earth so that we can exist one leader to the other. Allah never created this earth for people to exist and rule themselves only on the basis of tribe or on the basis of societies only, no. Or on the basis of their nations, nationalities, no. Or even continents, no. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the earth so that the whole of the earth will have one leader. One leader, one human being leading the rest of mankind. And he created the earth for everybody to be a Muslim, even though he knew that there would be non-Muslims, but those people are going to become non-Muslims because they are doomed, because they are food for hell. But the normal human beings will in very paradise will all be Muslims. That's what he created the earth for. Because he said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. This is one of the most popular ayat in the Quran, isn't it? Huh? Almost everybody knows this. That's why when I was reciting it, everybody was following. They all have when I ask you to follow, everybody will be moping at me. Yeah? You'll be moping at me like Mopo. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has always mentioned that the heavens and the earth, the jinns and the human beings, he created for worship. And that's what he made it for. So, the Muslims, those who submit to him, are supposed to have only one leader in the whole of the world. The others will be just like deputies, governors, and so on that he himself. That's how Allah made the world. So, he said, Khalifa. What he actually means here is that the human being he's going to create is going to be Khalifa as he is. He's creating you so that he's leading each other. When one goes, the other will, you know, be Khalifa, take over from him. And that's how the world will continue to remain. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Hadith, وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلَنَا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وأنزلنا معه الكتاب والميزان إذا ليقوم الناس بالقسط وأنزلنا الحديد فيه بأس شديد ومنافع للناس ليعلم الله من ينصره ورسله بالغيب وجه المرضى هو يفضل وانا سيدا وما خلقت الجن والإنس سيد الحديد Nobody can complete this. Huh? Don't you start looking. Yeah. Yeah. Hell. Inshallah. Come here, Nazim. Why didn't you say this? Huh? You like making younger? Huh? Like being big first. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran that he has actually sent his messengers. Verily we have sent our messengers, that's what we're talking, bil bayyinat, with ayat made clear. وَأَنزَلْنَا مَعَهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْمِيزَانَ. And after that, he sent them with books and al-mizan. The measure, which means the qiyas, or the sunan, with which they would explain the book. لِيَقُوْمَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ. And those books, the kutub, either Quran or Injil, or Zabur, or the Prophet came with, that those work for each generation were supposed to teach people how to live in justice. They were supposed to teach people how to do justice to each other. They are formed now to be so that people will live and worship Allah and do the right thing when they use those books. So any nation that does not use the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never know justice. And if there is no justice, there will never be peace. If there is no peace, the nation will always be poor. So they are called not to be clear. And then he said, وَأَنْزَلْنَا الْحَدِيدَ. Allah did not stop there. Allah did not only tell his messenger with the book and the Qiyas or the Sunnah. He did not stop from the Qiyas. He had sent these messengers with these books, with these analogous Qiyas or the Sunnah, and with also those modern ones, and of course things that are useful to mankind, so that Allah will know who will help the religion of Allah and who will help the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in propagating the religion that they came with. And that is Islam. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done all this. So that for each messenger Allah sent, He sent him to produce a leader for mankind. He will be the leader. After him, the one is, companions will take over from him. He will have leadership. And that's how it will continue to be till the end of time. So now that the soul has come, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and gone, he left Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, who took over. Abu Bakr al-Siddiq left it for Umar, who took over from him, and so on and so forth. For those who do not believe that Sayyidina Abu Bakr al-Siddiq was supposed to have taken over, we say shame on you. Because every reason pointed to the fact that Sayyidina Abu Bakr al-Siddiq was supposed to take over from Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. You know, when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam died, and people kept talking and were saying, Umar was there, Ali was there, Uthman was there. And, you know, they were just silent. And Umar was telling people, if anybody thinks Rasul is dead, I will kill him. I will chop off his head. Nobody should say that. Rasul is not there. Some of the Sahaba kept saying, is this one of those things that happened to him, you know, when he's receiving revelation? Which was sure he would come up again, you know. He can't die, he's not dead. And then Sayyidina Abu Bakr al-Siddiq came. And he was told what had happened. People were saying he was dead. Some were saying, no, he can't die. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr al-Siddiq entered the room and found him covered in his coffin, and then he opened it. He just revealed it a little and saw his face. He came and was sure that the Prophet was dead. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So he kept this vision between his two eyes, and then he said to him what he said. He said, you have tasted of this death. After this death, you will never die again. Which means there is no possibility that you will taste of Jahannam at all. The only death waiting for you after this your life, you have tasted it. And after this, that is all. Then he started with you. And then he came out and mounted the minbar while people were confused. One of the qualities of the leader, the person that will be qualified to lead the Muslim, ummah, will be that when other people are confused, he will be calm and calculated. When other people have forgotten, he will remember. There was an ayah of the Quran that the Sahaba all forgot. بس سيدنا ابو بكر الصديق never forgot. I mean, there are two points in the fact that this man was going to lead the Ummah. And so to show his leadership quality, he mounted the minbar. He said, O you mankind, whoever worships Allah before the death of our noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Allah that you used to worship is living, he will never die. But whoever worships Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Muhammad to me is dead. So that means he is dead now. If you used to worship Muhammad, then Muhammad is no more. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he recited that ayah in Surah Al-Imran. وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ أَفَإِنْ مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلَ انقلبتم على أعقابكم. Said Muhammad was nothing but a prophet, a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and before him there were messengers, and he was only a messenger, and before him there were messengers. And what happened to those messengers? They died. They left the messengership. Only Nabi Isa, he was suspended and would come back and die. So all the messengers that Allah has sent to this world have had to die or will die. So if Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was like that, which means he also will die. That's how the ayah is beginning to speak. Then he said, أَفَإِنْ مَاتَ. So if Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dies, أَوْ قُتِلَ, or he is killed, he dies on his own, just like that, or he is killed, will you now turn back and say you are no longer Muslims because the Prophet of Allah is dead? No. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr now brought this ayah to the attention. And Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab said, Wallahi, when he quoted this ayah, he said, I never heard it before. So the Sahaba said that this man is our leader automatically. So the Khalifa thing started with Sayyidina Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. Sheikh Muhammad al-Amin al-Shankiti in his book, in his tafsir, Adwa al-Bayan, Shikidah al-Quran al-Quran, explained why he was doing the tafsir of this ayah. But this ayah is showing that we have to have a Khalifa each time in our life. Till the end of time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never created the Muslim to live like this. He never created us to live the way we are living now without a Khalifa. That is not what it is supposed to be. This is an abnormal situation that Muslims are living in the world now, and everybody is just on its own. Nigerians have Olusegun, subhanallah. The Nigerians have, is it Tanja or Tangerine? The Americans have the richest man in the world, and so on and so forth. This is not how we're supposed to live. We're supposed to be one nation, Ummah. That's why Osama is calling the Muslims with his Ummah, because that's his dream. That is my own dream. I don't know whether you want to just remain with the Amir of MSS Coach, and the ones in ABU will have their Amir in ABU, and you just want to remain like that, don't you? Huh? For me, it's an abnormal situation. It's supposed to be one Khalifa for the whole Ummah in the world. We pray that we get such a person before we die. We pray that we get such a person before we die. That's how we are supposed to exist. So that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about here. If we are going to have a Khalifa, who will now be the Amir al-Mu'min in the whole world, like Muhammad was, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And after him, Abu Bakr was. And after him, Umar was. And after him, Uthman was. And after him, Ali. And the rest of the leaders that we have kept having until things, you know, went asunder. And then we started having, you know, leaders for nations, for states, for tribes, and people are now fighting for chieftaincy titles. People are just contenting with being the local chief of their own village and tying some heavy turban on their necks, from the head to the neck, and they're being overburdened with just staying in one place throughout their life. And just, you know, marrying, having four wives and 20 concubines and things like that. And that is how. You give them a few details, and whatever you say, they say, yes, we are nowhere. People are just contented with that. That's not how they're supposed to be. So what are the conditions for a Khalifa for the whole of the Muslim Ummah? We will not be able to take that today, because there are conditions, inshallah, if we are still alive. Now next time, we shall take that. Is that okay? Yeah? We still have some time for the tafsir today. 2 minutes only. No, we don't have to. So inshallah, the next time we are able to do this tafsir, that should be tomorrow, inshallah, isn't it? We shall continue. The Ibnillah, and we shall take the conditions of a Khalifa. This one, this question says, when someone experiences janaba before Fajr prayer and there is too much cold that he cannot keep his bath, and he wants to pray with the Imam, and he performs tayammum even if there is water? Yes, sir, he can. If he feels that bathing with water that is not hot will make him ill, then he should perform tayammum. If he has a ring boiler, he can boil water. He doesn't have to pray with the Imam. If he can boil water before Tuluq al-Shams, before Shuruq, if he can boil water before the sun does what? Rises. If he can get water that will be warm, then let him not perform the salah with tayammum. But if he thinks that the time will lapse and the sun will rise before he gets warm water, then perform tayammum and pray along with the Imam. But if you think that just delaying the salah a little bit till you can get warm water will be possible before the sun rises, then don't follow the Imam. You only perform tayammum when you think that you cannot get to perform your bath or to perform the wudu with water before the time for the prayer lasts. And the time does not only last with the Imam, no. It lasts when the whole time for the salah will go. If it is salah and fajr, it will be when the sun is rising, then the time has lapsed. Before then, the time has not lapsed. If it is dhuhr, it will be before what? Sunset. Time for dhuhr will last completely when the sun has set. So also asr. Time for maghrib and isha will last only when it is dawn. Isn't it? Yes. Only after tulu al-fajr. So, unless you fear that you will not get water before then, you should not perform tayammum for any of these salawat. If the problem is that there is no water, or it is too cold and you cannot bath with cold water, then try and get warm water before the time lapses. If you can't, then perform tayammum and say your salah. But if the problem is that there is a wound, for instance, on your hand, here, between your fingers and your elbow, there is a sore, and water is not supposed to touch it, then immediately it's time for salah. Just perform tayammum and pray your salah. If it's risky for water to be touching the spot, If you have a bandit, don't even go to the cabin if it is risky. If you are going to be risking your life or your health. If the doctor say it will not heal as long as water continues to touch the place, then don't even allow water to touch the spot at all. Just be performing tayammum. If it is not possible to perform tayammum, just be saying your salah no matter what condition you are in. Hello, Ramiyo. So that is that. Do you understand that? Yeah. Huh? Have I answered your question? Was my yoga good? So second question. Can someone play with trousers that contain... How can trousers contain janaba? Do you know what janaba is? If there is money on a pair of trousers, that's what he's asking, I'm sure. Can one perform salah with the trousers? Yes, one can. Even the mazhab of Imam Malik, which seems to suggest that money is najis, there are two opinions on that mazhab. That's why the man who wrote his Ishtar al-Salik, al-Asqali, that soldier who wrote that book, he said that وَفِي نَجَاسَتِهِ قَوْلَانِ and concerning the money being najasa, there are two opinions. One is that it is not najasa, one is that it is najis. Two opinions in the mazhab of Imam Malik. So you see from there, and if you look at Imam Ibn Hajar, who was a Shafi'i, who wrote Buluugh al-Maram, he brought the hadith of Nana Aisha, radiallahu anha, in which he was saying that there was money in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was dry, but he didn't, you know, rubbed it off like this, and then he went to play with it without applying water there. Do you understand? One of them says he washed it, one says he didn't even wash it. He just, you know, brushed off like that, and he went to play. This means they have still the money because it wasn't washed, and he played with it. So the ulama now say it means that money is not good. Okay? So you can pray with it. But if you wash it, it is better. Allah answered that question too. This question now to you. If a woman has menstruated for 15 days due to certain change in her duration around last year, December, she now menstruated for 15 days. She had a change in December and it now became 15 days. That is really as regards her fasting. If her days were formerly 9 days. Is this an illness or what? In the first place, the truth of the matter is, no woman can menstruate for 15 days. Islamically speaking, no woman can menstruate for 15 days. No woman can even menstruate in 9 days. The maximum is how many days? 7 days. Either 6 or 7 days, like the authentic hadith says. 6 or 7 days, that is the maximum. If you go beyond 7 days, it is not menstruation, it's an illness, it's an abnormality. Go and seek the doctor's attention. Okay? So even if you used to observe it for 9 days, you used to do zuku for 2 days. You added 2 days that Allah did not add. But the mazhab of an Imam Malik, like they say, says that the maximum for a woman is 15 days. Five. There is a book that was written, which is a sharh on Al-Ismawi of the Maliki Mazhab. And I, if I'm not mistaken, it was referred to Al-Hakim al-Sufti. In it, the man was killed. And the reason for this position of 15 days for Hajj is that there is a hadith from which Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was explaining to women the reason why they are weaker than men. And one of the reasons he gave was that your hide, that half of the month has been provided for you as your hide. And that is one of the reasons why you are weaker than men. And so the Maliki school said, if 15 half of the month, how many days will that be? They teach it to be 15 days. Because to them the month will be 30 days. Even though the month is actually 29, it can get to 30 if the moon is not sighted. If the crescent is not sighted. Do you see that? We already begin to find problem with that. Huh? We're beginning to find a problem with that. It's not necessary that the moon be 30, is it? No, but the hadith is saying that. That's one. Secondly, the hadith is weak. It's not an authentic hadith. Do you understand? It's not an authentic hadith. That's why it can be used. That's second. Thirdly, it's not only that the hadith is weak. The hadith is munkar. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا مُنْكَرَ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا حَدِيثُ مُنْكَرَ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا حَدِيثُ مُنْكَرَ I'm asking you, you are telling to look at somebody else. Okay, a hadith munkar is a weak hadith which contradicts an authentic hadith. مفهوم؟ A weak hadith which contradicts an authentic hadith. An authentic hadith says the maximum is 6 or 7 days. This weak hadith is saying 15 days, or half of a month. That is contradicting the other, and the other is of course stronger than this. Therefore, 6 or 7 days is the maximum, as the Prophet clearly stated. صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. Weakness number 4 for this hadith. Even if you were to say that the hadith is authentic, let's assume it is. This is mafhum. This is mafhum. But the other one is mantuq. The other one says the maximum of your eye is 6 or 7 days. This is saying, didn't Allah make it this? This is not very clear. Do you understand? So this one is the Qadiyah and this one is the Majdur. So, in the first place, if your heart goes beyond 7 days, that you ask whether it is an illness, yes, it is. The 9 days you used to observe before was a mistake. This is gone. You can take it as Sarah, but don't do it again. You know Sarah? Yeah? I'm sure the Yorubans know what I'm talking about. What is Sarah? You have given that. You take it as a wolf. But next time, you don't take it like that. 7 days will be the maximum. So those 15 days, the rest of the days after the 7th day, consider yourself healed. You are in your istihaba. You will perform ghusl janaba and continue to do everything that the woman will do. You perform salah, you will do your you will fast during Ramadan. The way I think we explain how the woman in istihaba will perform her ibadat. Have we? Yes, we have. Yeah. So that's what you will do. Alhamdulillah. That's all? You still have time? You're taking this one. This one says, may Allah make what we hear useful here and on the hereafter. Ameen. If the feces of birds, najasa, because hardly will you pray in the hostel mosque without stepping on feces of birds, leaving on the mango tree. And sometimes one matches, one steps on them with his wet legs. Please explain. May Allah reward you abundantly. Ameen. Allah reward me abundantly. Yes, ameen. The species of birds. The formula for understanding whether species will be negated or not is consider the animal with the feces. Does it eat najasa? Does it eat impurities? Like the hen dog. Is the hen a bird? Is it a bird? He said no. It's not a bird. Oh, it's what? It's a mama? Alpha. So, a hen, for instance, chicken, whatever, a cock is a bird, isn't it? Does it eat najasa? Yeah, so it's eating its najasa. So, if the bird eats najasa, yes, it's eating the najasa. Secondly, if the animal, whether it's a bird or not, if it's not eaten in Islam, then its features will be najasa. Yai? Alhamdulillah. No? Put on the second one. Where is the second one? Huh? Where is the question? Huh? The animals are what? What is not clear? You don't know the animals you can eat? Oh, you used to think you can eat anything? this is a lecture on its own. That's a lecture on its own. That's a lecture on its own. But to be brief, animals that have claws on which they kill animals, do you understand? That have beaks on which they eat animals. Like vultures, like hawks, like eagles, and all those cannot be eaten. Do you understand that? Then, like the ones on land, like lion, hyena is makruh. Hyena is makruh. But lion, leopard, all those ones cannot be eaten too. What? Birds. I'm talking about birds now. Eagles, are they birds? What? Dog. Dog is haram. Dog is haram. Some people, wait. You like to go watch it though. I will not answer that of us. Some people say that dogs are makruh, but the truth is that dogs are haram. Okay? So that is that in a nutshell. I won't answer that one. Donkey is also haram. But the donkey that is the one we know at home. But zebra is halal. You know zebra? It's halal. What will be the reward for a Muslim not fasting in the month of Ramadan, but feeding 50 people every day? And the reward is that he will be a fanatic. He's a sinner. He deserves the last punishment in hell. That's his reward. That's all. Alhamdulillah. Subhanallah wa bihamdih. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdih. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. Wa barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. كما صليت وحرصت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.